home. So I'm grateful for the Lord. And I've wondered, Brother Colton teaching the songs they sung, what Brother Pirtle said. I told my wife, and then I began to wonder, am I going to have anything to preach, or should I just say amen and let's go? I am amazed. God never ceases to amaze me. But I feel like, I know now that I'm in the will of God, what God laid on my heart. Now, years ago, in fact, until I retired, my wife would very seldom ever know what I was going to preach until everybody else heard it also. But after my retirement, I would begin to tell her what I was going to preach, and she elbowed me one time during the Sunday school lesson at what Brother Colton was saying, because scripture and words simply were things that I've got in what little notes I have that I never use other than the scripture that I use. So it tells me this, at least one, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say there are a number of people in this audience that needs to hear what I'm going to say today. I am not a psychiatrist, I'm not a doctor, but I know a little bit about people. And I think I will hit the nail on the head, I'll guarantee you. Probably somebody will wonder, how do he know? I don't, but God does. I don't need to know. I just need to know the one that can do something about it. I can't fix a problem in most cases. Now, if it may be you need $10, I could probably fix that. But as far as any kind of emotional situation, circumstance, and there are many in our world, I can't fix it. But I sure can talk to the one that can fix it. You know, God can move men, or he can move mountains. We had a lady in our church years ago. She had to go on disability. And she got her disability approved in less than 90 days. Jim Turner, who used to be the congressman, he said, "Miss Doss, I don't know how you did that. The government don't move that fast." I can tell you how she did it. She knew the one that could do it. The one that can move a man or men, or the one that can move a mountain. So I will go into the word of the Lord, if you will stand with me, and do my best to deliver what God has laid on my heart. I do this. Now, when I tell you this, and when you hear what I'm going to preach, with the help of the Lord, you'll understand. I wondered a number of times, God, what am I going to say in that message? I don't know if any other preachers do like me, but yes. I get to wonder, what am I going to say? I figure a little bit, and then I wonder, where's it going from here? And so you are looking at a man that is absolutely, completely, totally dependent on him. So I want to go into the word of the Lord. And again, thank you for allowing me to minister to you. And I don't want to preach to you. I want to minister to you. Would you allow me to minister to you today? Yes. Let me go into the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jumping over to 1 Peter chapter number 5, and beginning at verse number 6. "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, let me change that seventh verse, one word in there. That word "for" he careth for you, Let me change that to because, which means the same thing, but it makes it a little easier to understand. Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. One more scripture in your hearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7 beginning. Paul saying, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Lord, I love you, and I'm so honored to be standing where I am. Would you once again, Lord, let it but not be me, but would you preach through these vocal cords and these feeble lips of flesh and clay. And God, touch every heart that's under the sound of my voice and minister to each one, especially those that really need what I'm about to say. We ask it in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people said, amen. God bless the reading and the ministry of his word. Please be seated. And for the next little while, I would like to minister to you from a question rather than just a statement. My subject is this: why are you trying to do that by yourself? You might think that's a funny question. I will guarantee you that I am preaching to people that have problems in your mind. It may not be something you can see or something you want to even share with anybody else. I think it's safe to assert that we live in a world that's got a lot of problems. Psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, and tranquilizers of everything and every kind you could imagine are at an all-time high. Ladies and gentlemen, we carry problems with us everywhere we go. It may not be a physical problem, but what about that situation or that problem that keeps you awake at night, that bothers you in the daytime, that nobody knows about? I've come to ask you, why are you trying to handle it by yourself when we've got an advocate named Jesus Christ? Said, if you'll come to me, I've got broad shoulders and I can handle what you can't even begin to imagine. I am astounded. There are family problems, church problems, job problems, financial problems. There's probably at least one person under the sound of my voice that's got a financial problem even today as I speak. And I'm not looking at anybody because I don't know your situation. But I know we as people have problems. There have been times in my life that we were so poor we couldn't pay attention and didn't know what I was going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and God can make a way where there absolutely seems to be no way in the world. Cares. The dictionary describes cares as anything that causes you to worry or troubles your mind. I would dare to say there's somebody under the sound of my voice today that something even between what I say has got something going over in your mind. How and or why is this going to do to me? Or how am am I going to handle this? May I tell you, you don't need to handle it. Turn it over to God. God can make a way where there is no way. Pastor told me just last week, I don't know who it was, but somebody came to him and said, God told me to write a check to the church for everything I have in my checking account. And I've got taxes to pay, and I've got bills to pay. And oh, what the devil said, that ain't God. He said, well, do whatever you feel like God wants you to do. And they thought they were going to have to pay taxes. And so they wrote a check for what, now this is recent. They wrote a check for what they had in their checking account. He said it wasn't a great amount, but they wrote a check. And then they got a tax refund. Rather than having to pay taxes, they got taxes. How'd that work? I don't know how God does it. I just know God does. So may I ask you a question? Why are you trying to handle it by yourself when you've got God on your side? And if God be for us, who can be against us? I can add to it also. If God be for us, what's going to be against us? My Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Devil will tell you there ain't no way. I imagine the devil told the three Hebrew children, you ain't going to get out of this alive. I may not, but if I die, God will escort me to the other side. Don't you know the devil's face got red when he discovered the Son of God in the fire with the Hebrew children, and he thought, I had him for sure. You may think the devil's got it won today. No, he hadn't got it won. You're a winner because God's on your side. Anybody got a problem today? Oh, my goodness. I when I was in Korea, sin was rampant. It was everywhere. And I thought, Lord, if I can just get back to the good old States, it'll be a piece of cake living for you. You know what I found when I got back to America? The devil was over here, too. It's amazing. A lot of times if you think, if I could just do this, everything would be all right. The devil's going wherever you go. But what I want to remind you today, God is on your side. You are not alone. Job said it this way, if I could just find him, I would plead my case. But he didn't stop there. He said, but he knows the way I go. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Can I tell you today, God knows where you are, and he knows what's bothering you. I had a brother-in-law. I say had, he died a few years ago. But years ago, he was a preacher. I don't know what he was going through with. He didn't tell me. He lived in Houston. But he said, I was really going through something. So one morning he prayed, God, do you even know where old John is? And they had to leave and go somewhere, I don't know where. And they went through a little place called Buffalo, over by Palestine somewhere. And they stopped to eat at a small restaurant. And he said, we had never been there before, never been in that cafe. Nobody else was in there when they went in. That was the morning that he had prayed, God, do you even know where John is? And they ordered. The waitress brought their food and their ticket. And then she came back and picked up the ticket and said, it's paid for. And he looked up and he saw a lady standing in the doorway to the kitchen. an emotion that she came over and he said, "Did you pay for our meal?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Why?" She said, "I don't know. But something just told me pay for their meal." And he thanked her. And she walked back and God said, "I just want you to know I know where you are." My God, can I tell you, God knows where you are this morning. He knows what was on your mind when you got out of bed. And God knows what's troubling you, even as I speak. So my question today is, why are you trying to handle it by yourself when God said, "Come unto me, you labor and you're heavy laden"? He said, "I'll take that load. I'll give you rest and I'll give the peace that passes human understanding." Don't try to handle it by yourself. That's not my words, that's God's. It's amazing. You say, "Well, you know, I used to think," and I'll guarantee you I'm not the only one that used to think this. "I used to think preachers had no problems. Because when I saw them, they all always had a suit on. They always were up. I found out preachers are human. Life hits us same as it does you. Sometimes we preachers are broke. You ever find that out, Brother Zach? I heard a motivational speaker say one time, he said, "The messenger of misery is either at your house, or he just left, or he's on the way." Anybody know what the messenger of misery is? I want to ask, please don't raise your hand. But I wonder how many is listening to me today that you lay awake sometime during last night with some kind of problem up here that you wondered, "What am I going to do about it?" Can I tell you, lay it on the altar. Now you say, "Preacher, that's easy to say. I'm well aware of that." But today I am bringing you word from God Almighty. God said, casting all of your care upon him because he cares about you. Now you can do what you will with it. This is good preaching. You need to hear this. When I'm not around anymore, you need to remember this. I don't have to tolerate this because God cares about me. Tell yourself, God cares about me. You say, "Young people don't have a problem in the world." Everybody's got a problem now and then. I helped do a wedding some years ago. And the groom, not long before he married, he asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, do you think I'll ever really find a wife, a woman that cares about me?" He found a dandy. And they're still married and in the church today and 3 kids, almost all of them grown. Young folks, let me tell you, God's got somebody for you. It's only normal to wonder, "Will I ever get a date? Will I ever have a boyfriend? Will I ever meet the right girl?" Can I tell you, that's one of the problems of young people. Can I tell you, God's got you in his mind. And God will send the right one along. And it'll be just the right woman. Can I tell you, God cares about your problems. And you parents need to pray for them that they will get the right one. I've told a number of people there are worse things than being single. In fact, I knew one lady, somebody told her, said, "Your husband's a good man." She said, "I'll give him to you." And sometimes somebody looks really, really good on the outside, but on the inside they're not all that good. But God knows where you are. And God knows just how to fix your problem. I remember one time we were in a revival. And we didn't know we had a problem. Because that hadn't happened yet. But a man came to the door of our trailer. I was not there. My wife was, because he was kind of scroungy looking. My wife was a little bit nervous because I wasn't there, and it was during the day, and we were parked behind the church. And he came to the door and wanted to know if Brother Preacher was there. And she said, no, he went to town, but he'd be right back. She wanted him to know I'd be right back. So if he tried anything, Preacher might catch him. And he said, well, we were praying this morning, and the Lord said for me to come give you something. And she said, do you go to this church? He said, no. She said, have you been to the revival? He said, no. She said, well, how do you know we were here? He said, some of our kin folks go to this church. This has been years ago. And he handed her a check, and she thanked him, and he left. And she thought when she looked at it, it was $50. And then she looked at it closer, it was $500 way back years ago. We didn't know the water heater on our trailer was going out, but it did. We had the money to fix that water heater. We didn't know my tires were bad on my van, but we looked at them, and that $500 got us a set of tires and fixed our water heater. God can take care of your problem before it ever happens. If God can send what we think of as a sinner to bring you a check, can God not send somebody with whatever you need? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God cares about your problem. Years ago, the church used to take pledges. And we were young, living like so many young people do, paycheck to paycheck. And I didn't know this. My wife told me about it long later. Every time they'd take pledges, I'd pledge. And she said, I'd wonder, where are we going to get the money? But we always had the money, and we never went hungry. And my credit was always good. Can I tell you, I told God not too awful long ago, I said, God, I don't know how you do this, but you move on to somebody, and the good part about it is they think it's their idea, and all it is, God nudges them, and they say, take so-and-so a check, or give them an offering, and you wonder, how did God do it? God cares about you, and God is concerned about the little things, and he can take care of the big things. You know what? This won't make you shout right now, but it'll make you shout later when you realize that God done just exactly what I told you he will do. I know a man, I've heard him tell the story at least twice. He needed a job, and he needed one bad. Nobody was hiring. He said he spent so many days looking for a job. Everybody, we don't need anybody. He went on a 3-day fast. And he said at 5:00 he walked in the house. Had spent that day trying to find a job. No, we're not hiring. We don't need anybody. We're not hiring. And as he walked in his house, the phone was ringing. And his wife answered the phone. And she said, it's for you. And it was one of those places that had told him, we don't need anybody. He got on the phone. They said, would you be willing to take a job that we know you're qualified for? And he said, yes, without hardly thinking about it. Because he said, I needed a job. This was Friday. And they said, can you go to work Monday morning? Can I ever? Can I tell you, God can make a way. God can make a door where there's nothing but brick wall. I'm telling you, God can move the obstacle. God can make a way where there is no way. God can put a door in a wall that's solid. I'm telling you, neighbor, God knows how to fix and take care of your situation. And if you think God's not concerned about things, I had something happen last night. And God just never ceases to amaze me. Now you may say, well, that ain't nothing. Well, it is to me. Your problem might not mean nothing to me, but it does to you. We pulled in the Golden Corral. And they were crowded last night. I mean, they were crowded. And I like to get a close parking place because my wife has trouble walking. And so there wasn't one close. So I went all the way around, and I was going to get as close as I could. And I pulled into a parking place in the front of another pickup. And a man came out of Golden Corral. And just on a whim, I said, wouldn't it be something if he got in that pickup in front of us? Guess where he got into? That pickup directly in front of me. So I sat there and waited. We did. And when he backed out, I pulled up. I had a pull through, which makes it a lot easier than backing out. I said, God never ceases to amaze me. You say, that was coincidental. Yeah, it really was. God put us there at the right time, at the right place, and had that man leave at the right time, at the right place. You say, man, that's amazing. That's what I'm telling you. If God can give me the right parking spot, you think God can't fix whatever it is that's bothering you today? I'm telling you, God cares about your problems. Oh, my goodness. Casting. You're all these, or all of you East Texans. You know what it is when you chunk something? I see some heads shaking. That means throw it. Casting. All, not one now and then. Casting all your care. Has anybody got something bothering your mind today? Don't raise your hand. Because if I ask you to raise a hand and not one hand went up, I think for sure somebody's lying. You would never convince me that every individual in this crowd does not have something on your mind that you're a little bit concerned about. It's amazing. You think God can't shut a door where you think you got a door opened? When I left my job at the plant, and I'd worked there for 13 and a half years. The plant had a policy. If you left in good stead, you could always come back. So I thought, that's good. I was going to evangelize. And so I thought, well, I'll make this a little bit better. I'll take a leave of absence. And asked my boss, Russell, can I get a leave of absence? He said, Marlo, I can give you a leave of absence, but then he said, no, I won't say it. I said, no, we were close. I said, go ahead and say it. So I finally convinced him to. He said, don't take a leave of absence. I said, why? And he was not Pentecost. He said, because when the first little problem came up, it would be too easy to quit and run back. He said, I have never known a rich preacher. But he said, don't leave that little thing where you could run back to it as a crutch. Right before I quit, They changed company policy. If you quit, you couldn't come back no matter how good you were. They shut a door, Brother Purtle. I thought I had a crutch. Can I tell you, that old thing that the devil thinks he's got you to jump back on, God can shut a door. But when God shuts one door, God's going to open a better door. And we never wanted for a place to preach. I'm telling you, I was warned. Preachers are not going to use you. They don't know you. They didn't know me. But I was never without a revival and a place to preach. If God can take care of my problem, God will take care of yours. I look back over my life and I am astounded how God opened doors. The first general conference at Fort Worth, Texas, I had one short revival scheduled and nothing. My wife was visiting her mother, and I was at conference by myself. Day service was over. I went back to the trailer and I hit my knees and I said this prayer to the Lord. I said, God, I have never asked anybody to let me preach. Please don't let me have to start asking now. And that night, that afternoon late, before I got in the convention center for service, I parked my van in the parking lot. And there were a lot of preachers that did parked in the same lot. And a lot of us were getting out and we'd walk together. And before I got to service, preachers would say, I want you to come preach me a revival. I had my little calendar ready, you know. Before I got into service, I was booked up for over a solid year with revivals. God can talk to the man. Let me tell you, God knows how to get to the situation that's troubling you. And God knows how to let you sleep all night long. And you don't need to lay awake because God's in charge. And if God's on your side, there ain't nobody going to defeat you. I've been able to tell a lot of young preachers, if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares about you. Am I getting through to you yet? It doesn't matter how old you are. My wife has told me a lot of times, and I think I can use that word, it sure is nice having a built-in pastor living with you. Because the other day, she was hurting. That leg, it's a nerve there. Something's not quite right about it. Why don't God heal it? I don't know. But what I read to you and what he said, God told Paul, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And that thing I prayed three times, God, take it away. And God said, if I did, you'd exalt yourself above measure. I'm not going to take the thorn away, but I am going to give you grace to go through. It doesn't matter what it is. If God don't move the problem, God's going to give you added strength and give you grace to be victorious over that problem. You say, I've been living for God a long time. That's good. You know how you've been living for God a long time? Not because you're Superman or Supergirl. The same God that brought you through the last trial is going to get you through this one. It wasn't because you're so smart. It wasn't because you were so intellectual. It wasn't because God had to have you, but it was because God cared about you. And God brought you through it. And since there ain't but one God, the God that brought you through the last one is going to get you through the next one. I was in my Sunday school room praying before I went on the evangelistic field. This was before I knew what God was working on and doing in our lives. I had gone up to the church to pray. Nobody in the church but myself, far as I know, or knew then or know now even. I was upstairs, then God gave me a message of tongues and then the interpretation. And he said, I'm going to open a door that no man can shut, but I'm going to shut a door that no man can open. And I thought, Lord, what does this mean? I did not know that the company was changing their policy. And they changed it and said, you can't come back. When you leave, you're gone. And when I quit my job, I had one weekend revival. Now, that ain't much when you got a wife and two kids. And the only income you got, some preacher said when you're 500 miles from home and ain't got a dime in your pocket, you better hope somebody likes your preaching. And God shut the door. I couldn't go back to the plant. But preachers began to ask me to come preach revivals. That was the door that God opened, and nobody could shut. I had a preacher tell me, you better be careful. Ain't nobody going to use you. A false prophet, like Brother Colton said, false prophet. He was wrong, dead wrong. I'm telling you, the devil is a liar, and he's lying to you. God is going to take care of your situation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Can I change that? Just I'll give you peace. You know, our son, every time he had a problem, he'd sleep it off. When I have a problem, I'm awake. Steve had a problem, he is asleep. I don't know how people do that. Let me give you something. I wasn't going to tell you this, but I will. I'm probably one of the worlds where I hate to ask for help. And we go a lot of times without asking for God, without even thinking about it. We men especially, are bad about hating. Because, man, give me a cloak and I'm Superman. I can handle this. I've heard that statement before. I was in court with a young man one time, and his lawyer told him, said, let me get a postponement. I can handle it. He didn't. He went to jail. He should have listened to reason. I've heard it said about men hating to ask directions. We men are tough. We just hate to ask for help. Am I the only one? Well, nobody's confessing. Maybe I am the only one. But I hate to. I don't mind asking my wife sometimes. I can do this. They don't want me on a ladder anymore. Probably never did. They just didn't say it. But they say it plenty now. I had a lot out. So I caught them gone, and I fixed that light on the ladder. My wife caught me. Well, hey, if I can do this one, I can do this other one. I didn't know I got on another ladder under my shed. I didn't fall. The ladder fell backwards. And I'm sitting back here in this sand under my shed, and I couldn't get up. And my wife was going to town. And I'm wondering, am I going to have to holler help till somebody actually hears me? Sometimes, now this is scripture. Sometimes, brethren, it pays to listen to our wives. That's Bible. God told Abraham, listen to her. So I'm sitting there, and I can't get up because I'm in an awkward position. So I finally saw a 2x4 on these posts over here, and I scooted myself on the ground till I could catch that 2x4, one of them, and then I pulled myself up. I haven't been on that ladder since. Sometimes, whether you want to admit it or not, we need help. There is always help, and that help is God. How come I thought about that 2x4? You think I'm so smart that I could figure it out? Oh no, God plants seeds in our mind, and God shows us how sometimes to do things that we don't know ourselves. Young people, you may think that'll never happen to me. Live long enough and it will. Casting all, that means every last bit of it, your care on him. We were headed for a conference many years ago. And I don't know where that place is in Tennessee. But there's a cave you can walk down. And we decided to go down there. There was a lady who was a deaf mute. And she had a baby, so she was in the group. And she was in front of us. And we had no idea it was that far down in that cave. Some of you may have been there. I don't remember what the name of it is. But then you had to walk back out, and that lady had carried that baby because he was a big baby, but he was not walking. He was healthy. And when we turned around to walk back out, I almost said, "Do you want me to carry him?" And then before I remembered that she was a deaf mute. So I tapped her on the shoulder and I pointed, you know, like, "Do you want me?" And that baby came to me like he had known me all of his life. And she was so grateful. And I carried that baby all the way back topside and handed it back to her. And she was so grateful. Can I tell somebody today, God's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "Let me carry it a while. You've carried it long enough. So you realize finally that you can't handle it by yourself. Would you stand with me?" And while where you're standing, let me point out to you, God has said to you, "Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Can I tell you, close your eyes and begin to talk to the Lord and realize you can give it to him, because he is able to make a way where there seems to be no way in this world. But God is more than able to handle your situation and your problem. Give me some music, Sister Christian. Why are you trying to do that by yourself? Why, when you've got a promise, I mean a direct promise from God, "If you'll bring it to me, I'll help you with it." He will not take it away from you, but he will take it like I took that baby from that lady, if you'll just give it to him. You say, "Preacher, it's easy to say." I know that. That's why I'm asking you to talk to the Lord right now and realize, "God, I can't fix this. I know God sent me with a message for some folks that you need to realize when I can't do it anymore, he's right there with arms outstretched to take it away from me and to take care of it." Let's pray right now. Would you, Lord? Every individual under the sound of my voice, I rebuke that problem. I rebuke that spirit of fear. I command every fear of doubt. I command it to leave that precious body. I rebuke it. And I cast it into the pit from where it came and where it belongs. And I deliver that soul from the worry and the doubt and from the fear. And I set that soul free in the name of Jesus. And you get all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And I say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I can trust Jesus. He's been a friend who's there in time of need. He is my strong tower. Takes care.